The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes Show.
Today's show is brought to you by the Brothers Karamazov.
Not the book, the actual brothers themselves.
They love Eric and wanted to support him, so they decided to sponsor the show.
Is that not amazing?
And Dostoevsky doesn't know a thing about it.
And he invented them.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
What? Hey, folks, we've got a really special program for you. Listen carefully. I don't want you to miss a syllable. Well, there may be one or two syllables in the course of the program that you can miss, but you won't know what they are. So just pay attention to everyone and you'll be safe. We're talking today with a medical doctor, Joseph Bergeron. He has written a book called The Crucifixion of Jesus. A medical doctor examines the death and resurrection of Christ. The book comes with a foreword by none other than Gary Habermas. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes.
Habermas. I'm impressed just by the foreword. But the book, first of all, great to have you in the studio. Dr. Bergeron, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I've heard a lot about, you know, medical accounts of the crucifixion, and it's something that interests me very much. Apologetics interests me, whether we can know what happened or what we can know or what we can't know. Or what we know didn't happen. All of these things, I think a lot of people have this view that the crucifixion of Jesus and all this stuff, it happened back in mythical times and we can't really know anything. It's like talking about, you know, when Athena came out of the brow of Zeus. It's just something that you either believe or you don't or whatever. In fact, that's dramatically untrue. And your book makes that case, that we can know a lot. So first of all, being a medical doctor, what is it that got you interested specifically in this subject?
Well, the Christian Medical Student Group at Indiana University Medical School asked me to give a talk, and I knew that physicians had written about the crucifixion, but I'd never read it. So I thought, well, I'll just review that and provide it to the
students.
Now,
when was this? Years ago?
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah, because I know that books have been written on this subject. I've not read any of them, but I've heard tidbits here and there. But so just to give the talk in Indianapolis, you refreshed yourself with this.
I read everything. I read the books, the articles. There's a body of literature written by physicians on the subject. And as I started to go through that, what perplexed me was there was not an agreement. There was no consensus about what actually was Jesus' cause of death. Now,
that's actually quite interesting, isn't it? I guess I always assumed, because you hear about Roman crucifixion, that one ultimately suffocated to death.
I hear that sermon every Easter.
Right? You hear it over and over Easter. And over. Okay.
Except that really is not medically logical. And I go into a great deal of discussion in the book about why it's not logical and how that couldn't have occurred and how that really came into popular discussion. Jesus died. Strictly speaking, the cause of death was crucifixion, but in medical language, when we're talking about the cause of death, what we're really talking about is the mechanism of death, what physiological processes resulted in the cessation of life.
Right.
Jesus died of traumatic hemorrhagic shock. And shock in the English language has many meanings, from the tangible sensation of electricity to being emotionally flabbergasted. But when we talk in medical language about shock, what we're talking about is impaired circulation. And with traumatic hemorrhagic shock, we're talking about diminished blood volume as a result of trauma.
Okay, so to put it in layman's terms, when you're crucified, you bleed so much that it leads to shock.
I think so. I mean, what we can say about Jesus' death, and when we look at the descriptions in the Gospels and do basically a forensic reconstruction of what happened, that's the telling point of how he died. And there may have been different mechanisms of death from victim to victim. And the Romans crucified, we don't know, hundreds of thousands, probably over six centuries of crucifixion as their most severe method of execution. But in Jesus' case, Jesus had excessive beatings. He was beaten first by the Sanhedrin and the temple guard, and then he was beaten by Roman soldiers whose, in the book of Mark, it says a whole company beat him. So he had two scourgings, multiple beatings, and the descriptions of what a beating would be like for crucifixion is severe. Eusebius said that you could see that the scourges would cut down to the bone, or you could see the inner organs exposed from such severe beatings as what would occur before crucifixion. So the soft tissue trauma would be significant. And so in Jesus' case, Jesus died rapidly. He died in 6 hours. Crucifixion could last for days. There are literary references to crucifixions lasting up to a week. So, you know, not everybody bled to death quickly, but in Jesus' case, his beatings were excessive and his death was rapid. So that really points to an underlying process occurring that would not have been obvious to the average observer. I make the case in the book and in prior medical journal article that the components were present to cause a complication of shock that's called trauma-induced coagulopathy, meaning that when the trauma is so bad that the blood chemistry becomes deranged and it can't clot normally.
Wow. Hang on a second. The blood chemistry becomes so, did you say deranged?
The clotting mechanisms become deranged to the point.
I just have never known the term deranged to be used as a medical term that way. That's amazing to me that you're saying that the blood chemistry itself,
yes,
was messed up so that the blood could not coagulate. I've just never heard of such a thing.
Well, it's actually a fairly new diagnostic entity since I believe identified in the early 2000s, but basically, three things have to occur. There has to be tissue injury with bleeding. There has to be hypothermia or decreased core body temperature, and there has to be acidemia of the blood or a decreased pH of the blood. Now, that's common in shock. Jesus was crucified on a day that was cold. You know, Peter was warming himself by the fire. He lost his inhibition to stand by guards and warm himself by a fire.
This is brilliant detective work. Seriously, this is amazing what you're saying, because it certainly never occurred to me that it was cold. What a concept that, yes, of course, Peter is warming himself by a fire. Why? You must be pretty cold, as you just implied, to go into this danger zone where people might recognize you, but you're so cold you don't care. I never have thought of that.
Well, you know, they identified him, and the girl said, you're one of his disciples. And right. He started cursing and said, no, I'm not, but I'm cold. I want to stand by the fire.
I mean, that's just – I've just never heard with regard to the crucifixion of Jesus the idea that it was cold.
Well, the cold contributes to the development or the potential development of trauma-induced coagulopathy. Now, that – they say occurs in about 20% of trauma cases that present to an emergency department. And it's very difficult to control. Trauma physicians will, you know, of course, try to stop bleeding. They'll replace blood products. They'll try to monitor the chemistry, warm the body, all these things. Even at that, the risk of death is a bad player. It's an ominous thing to present to the emergency room. And you can imagine 2,000 years ago, there was no treatment. And so what happens is it creates a positive feedback loop or snowball effect where the blood's starts to lose its ability to clot, and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Okay,
and worse.
So it's obviously going to lead to death at yes. that point. There's no going back.
That's true.
Okay, we're going to go to a break here. Folks, I have the privilege of speaking with Dr. Joseph Bergeron, who has a new book out, The Crucifixion of Jesus, A Medical Doctor Examines the Death and Resurrection of Christ. Stick around, please.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com, GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
Christmas began with an unplanned pregnancy that ended in the ultimate sacrifice. At Patriot Mobile, the sanctity of life is cherished, and they fight daily to protect it. It's not just about cell service. Patriot provides support to conservative groups for pro-life, family values, and religious freedom. It's an easy trade. Stop supporting Big Mobile, since they support Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Patriot gives the same reliable nationwide coverage at better rates. Keep your phone number and contribute to conservative causes that you believe in with every call.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder.
Our gift of life. Protect it. Cherish it. Switch to Patriot Mobile and support it. Make a difference this Christmas for our nation and future generations. Join Patriot Mobile today at patriotmobile.com/Hugh or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Hugh or 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
Some time ago, you decided to buy a vacation timeshare. It was a great idea to build shared family memories. Unfortunately, times have changed, and your family income isn't enough, and now you want out of your agreement. But is it biblically proper to back out of an agreement you signed? Yes. The basis on this is in Deuteronomy 15. Jubilee is a long-accepted biblical concept. Timeshare agreements are often selfishly designed with no concern for the well-being of you and your family. You were never meant to be in permanent bondage. Timeshare Freedom Group is ready to help you change your situation. We've helped thousands of people like you rightfully and legally cancel their timeshare contracts. We're the leaders in the industry with decades of experience, and we share your values. We even offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Be a good steward of your family's finances. Start the freedom process now. Call 844-789-CANCEL. That's 844-789-CANCEL. 844-789-CANCEL.
Hey there, folks. We are talking about, maybe the most important event in the history of the world, just in case you're wondering whether you should be tuning into this program or not. We're talking with a medical doctor who's here with me in the studio, Dr. Joseph Bergeron, who's written a book called The Crucifixion of Jesus, A Medical Doctor Examines the Death and Resurrection of Christ. And I want to be clear, Dr. Bergeron, what you have in this book is, in fact, groundbreaking and new.
Well, there are a lot of things in the book that are not available elsewhere.
Well, the reason I say this is there are plenty of books on the subject of Jesus died, here's a medical doctor's viewpoint. But there is stuff in your book that goes beyond what is in any of those books.
Yes, I think so. As we were talking before the break, I proposed the idea that the components were in place, the elements were present for Jesus to have suffered the complication of shock called trauma-induced coagulopathy. And that creates a snowball effect where the blood progressively loses its ability to clot, and it creates an irreversible gauntlet to death, and it's rapid. And so when you look at Jesus' death in 6 hours, as opposed to maybe days with other victims, there was something happening to him that wasn't happening to the typical crucifixion victim.
Right.
And it would not have been obvious to the casual observer, but something was happening that wasn't happening with other people.
And by the way, I can't remember who it was. Forgive me. Maybe, was it Pilate who says he's already dead? Like he's sort of shocked when he's asked for the body. Can I have the body? He says, oh, he's already dead. He did not expect him already to be dead a few hours after he'd been crucified.
That's correct. He did not expect him to be dead. And death had to be certified before the remains could be released. The usual case was that crucifixion victims were left on the cross. Their remains were devoured by scavenging animals. That's why we have so few archaeological finds of crucifixion victims. There are only two. One in Jerusalem in the first part of the first century, and one that was just recently reported in April that was found in northern Italy, which dates to the Roman period, but they were not able to date the bones. They were in such poor condition.
I mean, that is in fact amazing that they crucified hundreds of thousands of victims and that we have the examples of two. Now, one of them, of course, from the time of Jesus, and the other one you mentioned in Italy. Let me ask this. The other crucifixion victims on either side of Jesus did not die very quickly. He died before they did. And because it was the Sabbath, I suppose the Jews of the day, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, whoever they were, because it was the Sabbath, wanted death to occur more quickly to those on either side of Jesus. Why is that? I don't understand that.
Well, it was a festival week. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which starts with a Passover day, then as the first day of that week.
But why would this crucifixion matter to the religious leaders? I'm not clear on that.
The best I can make of it is that it was a religious festival week.
And they didn't want to spoil the party by having these guys hanging around.
So they
had the Roman soldiers break their legs, which is itself one of the most gruesome things I've ever heard, so that they would die more quickly.
Well, yes. And I think there's a scene in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ where, as I remember it, a soldier takes what looks like a sledgehammer, takes a running start and comes up and wails on the victim's legs. And I think that's exactly how it would have happened, because the crucifixion find in Jerusalem, both the legs were fractured. One of the legs had what's called a spiral fracture, would have been a high-force fracture. So I think that however they broke the legs, it would have been a very high-force to do that.
The level of brutality, I have to say, is unspeakable. In this day and age, we very rarely glimpse anything this horrifying. And even your description of the flagellation, the beating of Jesus before his crucifixion, there's a level of gruesomeness that you just don't ever hear of this. It's really horrific.
Well, even the Romans thought it was obscene. They called it the summa supplica, the supreme penalty. And so it was intended to be the worst possible death. And, death by crucifixion, that's why there's been so much confusion about it, because there was not an obvious direct cause. It wasn't like dying from a firing squad. They would put him up on the cross and they would just be there until they expired. So, you know, it wasn't obvious. It was a long, slow death for most people.
Well, before we get into more of the details, let me just ask you, why is it that you wrote this book? In other words, was it because you found that previous accounts, I assume, were inadequate, or that there was – because you had this new information? Is it just because of the cause of death, or are there other aspects to it?
Well, I had written a medical journal article, basically a dissertation on shock, about Jesus' cause of death.
And when was that?
2012.
Okay. So 6 years ago, you wrote an article in a medical journal.
Yes, the Journal of Forensic and Legal Medicine.
It's interesting that a journal of that kind would publish something like that. I'm happy to hear that they would.
Well, it was rejected six times before it was accepted. medical journals are not really friendly to this kind of topic.
I'm not shocked by that, but I'm glad that the seventh time was a charm.
And then after that, I wrote a collaborative article with Gary Habermas on the hallucination hypothesis for the story of Easter.
And for my audience who doesn't know who Gary Habermas is, tell us if you would.
He's the chair of philosophy at Liberty University. He's kind of a guru on resurrection. He's written about 40 books on the resurrection of Christ.
A guru on resurrection? I can't imagine there are too many of those walking around. And he's written 40 books on it?
I believe. Last I knew.
I think I've written two or three chapters and I'm done. Okay, so yes, you.
Here's the thing. Not many people read academic articles. And so I really wanted to bring this to a larger audience, to a more public venue. And in your book, Miracles, you talk about how you came to the awareness that God was calling you to write about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I was thinking about these two articles, and I thought, I really took it as God's assignment to me to write it for a public venue, and specifically for the target audience of college students, college graduates, because there's a kind of an unrecognized epidemic in our country where Christian young people who have grown up in church, grown up in youth groups, when they go to college, between 60 to 80% of them, depending on what you read, depart from the faith. And it's usually within the first year. And so I just really wanted to bring this into a public venue with that target audience and say, you know, Christian faith is not blind. Christianity is unique. We can trace it back to historical events, and there's logic behind what we believe. And the point of the book is that the gospel accounts of Jesus' death correspond with current medical understanding.
That itself is extraordinary. I mean, that's a headline there, or it's a subheadline, because, again, I think people think of it as a mythical thing. They think, okay, he was crucified, whatever. But there are tremendous details and specifics that as time passes, and this is fascinating, that the more we know of science, the more advanced we are, the more we can know about this past and how, in fact, it's not mythical.
Well, for example, Origen, the church father, thought the description of the spear entering Jesus' chest and water and blood coming out, he thought that was a miraculous sign. And who gets that? I mean, how does that happen? But when we look at it in a modern sense, we can understand that the beatings that Jesus took to his chest could have easily caused a tissue injury and fluid to develop around the lungs, what's called the pleural effusion. And the fluid in a pleural effusion is clear unless there's trauma. So a spear entering the chest, if there was fluid present, would first look like water. And when it punctured in the heart and ruptured the heart muscle, blood would mix with it and it would look like blood. So we can reconstruct that and say, look, that's accurate. Nobody back then knew. Origen didn't know. They didn't understand. John, in his gospel, when he describes that, he's redundant about saying, I saw this, I was there, and I'm writing about this so that you'll know that.
Well, it just makes sense on so many levels, and that's what I find fascinating, is that the more we know, the more we can understand it. Folks, just don't want to forget to let you know there is still time. There is still time right now, today, this week, to give to CSI. We're still doing the campaign, so if you want to get all the different levels of gifts and things that we want to send you, if you want to participate in freeing people from slavery, everything, you can still do it. All you have to do is go to MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner at the top, MetaxasTalk.com. Don't miss the opportunity. It's still available. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. A White House briefing just wrapped up after sentencing for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has been postponed. The judge did accept Flynn's guilty plea for lying to the FBI about contact with a Russian ambassador to the United States, and the court will now reconvene on March 13th for sentencing. Predominantly Muslim ethnic minorities in China are being forced to work in internment camps aimed at cracking down on their religion. The AP found one detention camp where men and women so close it had been exported to a U.S. supplier of school team uniforms. According to her publicist, Laverne and Shirley star, actress Penny Marshall has passed away at the age of 75 from complications from diabetes. And on Wall Street, what a difference a day makes. All green. The Dow up 168. NASDAQ up 56. The S&P now up 9. For more details, visit SRNnews.com.
Such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DINOVITE.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dynavite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it,
and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses, or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
It was early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm an early morning lover, and I must.
Hey there, folks. We're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. And the book is called The Crucifixion of Jesus, A Medical Doctor Examines the Death and Resurrection of Christ. Dr. Bergeron, this is very fascinating. So you felt particularly called to write this because you did believe that there is not a full accounting of this. In other words, you discovered a number of things that hadn't been in previous books. What is the most recent book before this that goes into this in detail?
The two books that are by physicians that are well known is Pierre Barbet's book. He was a French surgeon. He wrote A Doctor at Calvary, I believe, circa 1950. And the most recent one is Fred Zugabee's book, The Crucifixion of Jesus, A Forensic Inquiry. And so those are the two.
When did that come out?
2005.
Okay. So so what is in this book that we wouldn't have picked up from those previous accounts?
Well,
first, you mentioned the cause of death, of course. That's number one.
Yes. Well, Pierre Barbet's book is very well done in many respects, and it's a classic. But he's the person that largely popularized the suffocation idea for Jesus' cause of death. And it was based on what he had – he was aware of a suspension trauma that was used to torture people during the Austro-Hungarian War and at Dachau, where people would be suspended with their arms overhead, and they would have the appearance that they were suffocating. And suffocation means restriction of the respiratory apparatus or interruption of respiration, or asphyxiation means deprivation of oxygen. And so they would appear to not be able to breathe and then die in about 3 hours. And so he knew about that, and then he looked at the arms of the Shroud of Turin and saw that the bloodstains bifurcate, and he put that together in kind of what I would call an a priori conclusion that Jesus was changing positions on the cross, trying to pull himself up in order to take a breath.
So wait a minute. I've never heard this. That's amazing. So looking at the Shroud of Turin, which we cannot say for sure is the burial shroud of Jesus, although I'm inclined to think that it is, but looking at that was what put it in his mind that Jesus would have been struggling for breath.
Well, he felt it was supportive. And so because it had been known, actually suffocation had been proposed earlier by a French surgeon, Lebec, and a Hungarian surgeon, Hynek, in the 1920s. They had become aware of this kind of torture. Dr. Barbet was also aware, and then he kind of agreed with that, and he thought, hey, you know, look at the shroud arms. It kind of all fits together, and then if you go and break the legs, then they really can't push themselves up. And so he put that together to conclude that suffocation was the cause of death.
Now, when they broke the legs of the other two victims of crucifixion, it does seem to add to that idea that they could no longer pull themselves up. And that what is your conclusion now? Did they die from suffocation, or do you think that they died from something else?
Well, I think breaking the legs was just additional torture. And when you fracture a long bone, other things can occur, such as globules of fat can enter the blood circulation. And if those go to the lung or to the heart, it can cause a rapid death also. But again, you have to – the crucifixion and the suspension torture that was used at Dachau, and I talk about that in the book, they're not comparable. At Dachau, they would put people's arms above their heads. They put weights on their feet. And it was an agonizing torture. And if they left them in that condition for about 3 hours, they would asphyxiate and die. And so that's really very different from crucifixion, where people are on the cross for days. And Jesus himself was having a conversation with the other two felons that were being crucified the same
right.
day with him.
Right.
And if you read the description of suffocation with Anbinden, or the suspension torture that the Nazis used, you would not be able to talk at all. You'd be really struggling just to stay alive.
It seems like you thought this through.
I've been studying this about 10 years.
I mean, it's just amazing how many details there are when you really look at it, as you've done. Little details. I mean, the fact that they're talking, they're having a conversation, does argue for the fact that they're not struggling for breath, certainly not at that point.
And there have been reconstruction experiments, so to say. Dr. Zugabee, for example, put his son up on a cross and monitored blood gases, monitored their vital signs. And being suspended on the cross, it was uncomfortable for a young, healthy person, but their oxygenation didn't decline. They did not have difficulty breathing. And interestingly, they were not able to pull themselves up when they were suspended on a cross. Now, this is a reconstruction experiment, of course, but you understand these are young, healthy young people, his kid.
But he didn't nail his kid to a cross.
No, he did not, but he suspended him and asked them to try to pull themselves up. And if you think about it, the primary flexor of the arm is the biceps muscle. And physiologically speaking, if you elongate the muscle, you do two things. You put it at a mechanical disadvantage, and then the fibrils that interact and contract against each other are stretched out as far as they can be. So you could not have a less advantageous posture for the muscle to be able to contract the arm.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me, the Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
You've almost opened up to someone so many times. You need to get it off your chest so you can get past this, but you just can't find the right person to talk to. It's hard to be completely honest about how you feel and what you've done. I know. I was there too. I was getting desperate. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Everybody's doing it, and everybody's making money at it, except you. You're losing holiday business to your online competitors, and you don't know how to get in the game. Talk to us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness, even if you have none, and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales coming out of this season. We can design and implement all of your online marketing under one roof, give you monthly reports on results, and instantly move your dollars to the most effective areas of your online advertising and sales. Social marketing, geofencing, web search enhancement, event targeting, and more. Now, there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround, increasing sales dramatically. Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. That's SalemSurround.com, connecting you with new customers.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Dr. Joseph Bergeron about his new book, The Crucifixion of Jesus, A Medical Doctor Examines the Death and Resurrection of Christ. Fascinating stuff, really fascinating. You were just describing the idea of how one, if one were to be crucified, would attempt to pull oneself up by one's arms. And you're saying that it doesn't make sense that that's what they would have been doing.
Well, the biceps muscle is the primary flexor of the arm. And it would be placed at its most disadvantageous position if it's elongated, both mechanically and both by the muscle fibrils that interact on a chemical level to contract.
Excuse me, but I've always heard that people would have struggled for breath by pushing up with their legs.
Well, the idea is, again, going back to the suspension torture. And what they observed with that was that the that they were struggling to breathe. And so if you try to extrapolate that to a crucifixion, then you'll think, well, gosh, they've got to pull themselves up or push themselves up or something. But again, they're not analogous, really. They're unlike. Crucifixion is unlike suspension torture in a way that I don't think they're comparable. And again, crucifixion could last for days. So if you're suffocating, you're not going to last for a week. And you're not going to carry on a conversation.
I guess to play devil's advocate, I'm just curious because I think that most people have suggested to me that the reason the legs were broken on the other victims was so that they could no longer push themselves up. In other words, that you would have pushed yourself up with your legs to get a breath, and that once you were unable to do that, you would suffocate. Is that? Now let me just say, is that possible? I mean, maybe you're. What was that? Is that that's my wife. I'm not here. Is that possible that you would have pushed up with your legs?
I can't say it's not possible, except that, as I said, there have been reconstruction studies where young, healthy people were not able to do that. And to say that it's evidence for suffocation is an a priori assumption. Because we can't really logically make that assumption. It doesn't follow.
Well, it's just interesting to me how these ideas get locked. You know, this book comes out in 1950 and 40,000 sermons or more are preached on it. And next thing you know, everybody knows that that's what happened.
Well, it's easy to get your head around the idea, oh, yeah, I suffocated. You know, that's kind of easy for, you know, a lay person to understand. But when you think about it medically, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. And things don't often come to us in easy explanations. And when you look at shock, it becomes kind of difficult to unpack and really think about what was happening chemically and so forth.
What about the way that Jesus was nailed? You know, typically he's portrayed as being nailed through the palms of his hands. But then, in recent decades, people have concluded that, he probably was – the nails went through – either the wrist or the early part of his forearm.
Well, Dr. Barbet actually did experiments on arms that he had amputated and put a nail through the palm and found that it would pull out with 100 pounds of force. And he didn't believe that that would sustain someone on the cross. So he did an experiment where 10 times, I think, if I remember, where he put a nail through the wrist bones. And if you take your ring finger and bend it back as far as you can on your palm, onto the crease of the palm. If you drive a nail through that spot, it'll go through the wrist bones and not fracture the bones and create a stable fixation. So a nail placed in the hand or wrist at that point would be stable and hold a person on the cross. The other alternative would be to put the nail just above the wrist between the two.
Okay, and do we have other evidence for that? What does the Shroud of Turin depict?
The placement in the Shroud of Turin is difficult to ascertain, I think. I think it supports what I just described to you because that would place a nail that would go oblong through the hand and exit at the lower part or just above the wrist intersection.
Right.
And I think that's consistent with the Shroud of Turin. I've studied the Shroud of Turin, and it's a very interesting thing. I think that It's been studied extensively and has not been explained away. But I specifically stayed away from talking about that as evidence because right. I know it carries its own controversy.
Right.
I had to include some discussion of the shroud when I discussed Dr. Barbet's hypothesis of suffocation.
Now, did Jesus is there anything that Jesus ever said about his own death that figures into your thinking?
Well, yes, I think so. He said, you know, the Last Supper is a Passover Seder. And it's more likely than not, it's similar to what the Jews do today where they take four cups. And he took the cup of blessing or the cup of redemption, which speaks back to Exodus 6, where God said, with a long, strong arm, I'll redeem my people. He picks up this third cup and he says something entirely unscripted. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. You know, that had to flabbergast everyone there, I'm sure. It's, what's he talking about? This is the new covenant in my blood. And he said, it's poured out for the remission of sins. So he was saying why he was dying. Because we're talking about Jesus. Why was he dying? He was dying to implement the new covenant that God foretold in Jeremiah 31, where he said, I'm going to make a new covenant that's not like the old covenant. It's going to be in the hearts of human beings are going to be transformed. And Jesus said, I am, you know, instituting the new covenant at my crucifixion. And then he said, my blood is poured out for the remission of sins. And as a doctor, when I read that, I thought, he told us his cause of death. He's bleeding to death.
His blood was poured out. It's interesting because, you know, on a poetic level, that makes sense, right? We always talk about the blood of Jesus, and how we're drinking the blood and eating the flesh. And I guess just as I say, on a poetic level, the idea that he would have died of asphyxiation is a little confusing. Not that it's that matters over much, but it's just interesting in the larger case.
Well, again, it's easy to wrap your head around, he suffocated. That's kind of simple and easy to understand.
Right.
But when we really look at it from a medical standpoint, it's a little more complex than that.
We're going to be right back talking to Dr. Joseph Bergeron. The book is The Crucifixion of Jesus.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there is no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The court will now reconvene on March 13th. After sentencing for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has been postponed, the judge did accept General Flynn's guilty plea for lying to the FBI about contacts with the Russian ambassador to the United States. A UN-mediated ceasefire went into effect between government allied forces and the country's rebels earlier today. Yemeni officials said hours later that the key port city of Hodeidah is calm. Fighting subsided as the ceasefire took effect early Tuesday. And actress-director Penny Marshall has passed away, according to her publicist, at the age of 75 from complications from diabetes. On Wall Street, the Dow up 51, NASDAQ up 15, the S&P now dipping into the red, down 5. For more details, visit srnnews.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Hey, Johnny Nash obviously got a new prescription of glasses. Isn't that fantastic? I didn't even know that Johnny Nash wore glasses. Folks, we're talking about the crucifixion. A medical doctor examines the death and resurrection of Christ. I'm hearing a weird echo. I don't know what that is. Anyway, we just have a few minutes left in this hour. But Dr. Bergeron, this is so fascinating to me, and we'll have more time in our second hour together. But what surprised you most in studying this? Because, I mean, very few people who've ever lived have studied this the way you've done. In fact, no one has, because you're studying this at a time when we know things that previous people who've studied it couldn't have had access to.
As I mentioned earlier, I guess the first thing that surprised me was that there wasn't a consensus about what physicians thought about Jesus' cause of death. You hear, and as you said earlier, every Easter you hear a sermon about how Jesus suffocated, and you start thinking about that. Well, that really doesn't make sense. And then you hear about Jesus' heart ruptured from emotional agony. That was actually proposed by a physician in the 1840s. But there wasn't a lot known about cardiac disease in those days, and as we come forward in time, that kind of explanation has really fallen out of favor. And then, you know, the chest wound, some people say, well, you know, he died when they put the spear in his chest, and that's not an unreasonable thing, except that the Roman soldiers had already pronounced his death. And
right. He died. They said he's already dead, and let's prove it. Let's stick him with a spear. If he doesn't flinch, he's dead.
Well, you understand, Roman military discipline was harsh. If you nodded off when you were on watch, they were going to beat you to death. If you allowed a capital criminal to escape crucifixion, you would die yourself. So they were not going to release the remains of anybody without being very sure that he was dead. And so more likely than not, it was a coup de grace to make sure that the body was dead before they would release. And it wasn't common that bodies were released for burial, but a family could request that, and that was not, you know, out of the norm.
Well, I mean, this gets to the insane idea. I mean, I've read a lot about this, but just the absolute ridiculous idea that somehow Jesus was not killed, and that after, you know, he was taken down from the cross, he kind of woke up and ran off. It's so dumb when you know any of the details and what you're describing. I mean, it's almost funny, the idea that you could go through this and then, you know, they call it the swoon theory. And these very sloppy theories have been put out in the past, and people should be ashamed, I mean, because they're so bad. I mean, they really are. But there are people to this day who say, well, maybe this and maybe that. And I mean, I deal with that in some of my books. But you, when you look at it from a medical perspective, as you've done, it becomes even more impossible to believe.
Well, yes. I mean, as I said, if you allowed a capital criminal to escape crucifixion, you were going to be killed yourself. People have asked me, has anyone ever survived crucifixion? And there was one. And it's referenced by Josephus. Josephus was a Jew who defected to become a Roman, and he wrote his histories. And he was an eyewitness to the Jewish war from AD 66 to 74. And he happened to see now the Romans crucified a lot of people during that war, sometimes hundreds. That Eusebius said there wasn't enough crosses for the people that were to be crucified. Not enough wood to make the crosses, I think is what the quote says.
We just got a few seconds left. Go ahead.
So he saw three of his friends on the cross, and he got a stay of execution for them. They were taken down. Two died anyway. One of them survived. That's the only literary reference to anyone surviving crucifixion.
Unbelievable. Folks, if you want all this information and much more, The Crucifixion of Jesus is the book by Joseph Bergeron. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.